Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here for the Equifax announcement. Today, our three principals are Chairman Simons, Director Kraninger, and Attorney General Frosch. Each of them will be making remarks, and then following the remarks, the subject matter experts from the Bureau, Manisha Mithal, from the Director of the Division of Privacy and Identity Protection, and Kara Peterson from the CFPB, will be answering any technical questions you have. If you have additional questions that you want to direct to the Chairman, the Director, or the Attorney General, please state so at the beginning of your question. Additionally, if you are here, please wait for a mic to be brought to you to ask a question. We have a number of people also on the phones, and they can't hear if you don't speak into the mic. We'll take questions from the floor first, following all the remarks, and then we'll go to the phones. So thank you very much. There will also be interviews afterwards, and if you would like an interview either in English or in Spanish, please contact any of the FTC public affairs officials or myself. Thank you so much, and I turn it over to Chairman Simons.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Federal Trade Commission. I am very proud to announce a global settlement arising out of the massive data breach that Equifax revealed in 2017 September. This settlement includes at least $575 million and up to $700 million in monetary relief, as well as important conduct provisions. I am particularly pleased to be joined on the podium today by Kathy Kraninger, the director of the CFPB, and Attorney General Brian Frosch of the state of Maryland. Their offices and many others were instrumental in achieving today's historic settlement for consumers. The global settlement contains two main parts. First, as I mentioned, it includes monetary relief. At least $300 million of this money will go directly to consumers through a consumer fund that will be set up by a federal court. If these funds are used up, Equifax will pay up to $125 million more for consumers. The fund will be used to pay for at least 4 years of free credit monitoring for affected consumers, as well as to compensate consumers for their time and money spent recovering from the breach. We've created a dedicated website, ftc.gov/Equifax, that will provide consumers with information regarding the settlement, including how to file claims. Equifax will also pay $275 million in civil penalties to other agencies. Second, the settlement includes strong conduct relief. Equifax must establish a comprehensive information security program that addresses and assesses not only the general risks to consumers' data, but also the specific practices that led to the 2017 breach. The company's board of directors is required to oversee, review, and certify compliance with the program. Additionally, an independent third-party assessor will have extensive access to review, assess, and report on the company's compliance. Moreover, the order gives the FTC robust tools to verify the company's compliance through assessments, required reporting of security incidents, and the ability to seek more information from the company as needed. I want to flag an important aspect of this settlement and a key message for Congress. The CFPB and the states were able to obtain civil penalties for this massive breach by a major financial institution. The FTC could not, because we do not have civil penalty authority for initial violations of the FTC Act or for violations of the Graham-Leach-Bliley safeguards rule. Fortunately, other agencies were able to fill in the gap this time, but that will not always be the case, which sends the wrong signal regarding deterrence. For this reason, I renew my call for Congress to enact federal data security legislation that gives the FTC authority to seek civil penalties for first-time violations. But make no mistake, even in the absence of new federal legislation, the FTC will continue its vigorous data security enforcement program. We will continue to seek strong injunctive relief against those who violate our statute, just as we did here. Finally, I'd like to highlight the extraordinary collaboration between state and federal agencies that resulted in today's settlement. This global settlement exemplifies good government. When a broad bipartisan coalition of federal and state law enforcers work together, we are better able to hold companies accountable for their obligations to protect consumer data. When sensitive personal information is exposed and misused, it can cause devastating harm to consumers. Companies must take seriously their duty to protect consumers' information, and if they don't, the FTC, the CFPB, and the Attorneys General stand ready to act. Before I give up the floor, I would like to thank the FTC staff responsible for helping to reach this settlement. Most significantly, Jacqueline Connor, Tiffany George, Molly Crawford, Ben Rossin, Kathleen Tully, Bob Shashinsky, and Manisha Mithal. Now I am very happy to turn the podium over to Director Kraniger. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us here today. Today's global settlement, as Chairman Simons noted, is the result of a strong partnership between the Bureau, the Federal Trade Commission, and the states. I want to thank my federal and state colleagues for coordinating with us to investigate this important matter. The collaboration and professionalism demonstrated by the staff at the federal and state levels was truly extraordinary, and I want to particularly thank the staff for their hard work, including the Bureau staff who worked on this case, in particular, Janelle Dennis, Emily Mintz-Sachs, Solange Hilfinger-Pardo, Richa Dasgupta, and John Wells. Credit reporting agencies are entrusted with protecting the personal information of millions of consumers. 2 years ago, the data breach at Equifax exposed the personal data of approximately 147 million Americans. The Equifax data breach compromised names, social security numbers, birth dates and addresses, and for some, driver's license numbers and credit card numbers. In short, the most personal information that consumers have. In the days immediately following the announcement, more than 6,000 consumers contacted the Bureau with complaints about the breach and the Equifax response. The Bureau, along with the FTC and our state partners, launched an investigation into how Equifax, the breach happened, and how the company responded. After a 20-month investigation, we alleged that Equifax, through unfair and deceptive practices, broke the law both before and after the breach. This joint investigation led to today's global settlement, which includes up to $700 million in monetary relief and penalties. Through the Bureau's actions, up to $425 million will be available to consumers for the time and money they spent to protect themselves from the very real threat of identity theft, to reimburse them for actual identity theft caused by the breach, and to pay for credit monitoring services for consumers and compensation for their losses. If you are a consumer who was impacted by the breach, let me provide you with some specifics on how this global settlement will deliver relief. If after the breach was announced, you spent time addressing an identity theft incident or taking steps to secure your personal information, you may apply to receive compensation for that time. If after the breach announcement, you spent money purchasing credit monitoring or identity theft protection, placing or lifting security freezes, or have unreimbursed costs associated with identity theft, you may apply to receive reimbursements for the money you spent. And if you had Equifax credit monitoring or identity protection at any time between September 7th, 2016 and September 7th, 2017, you may apply to receive back up to 25% of the cost you paid to Equifax. Additionally, consumers affected by the breach will be provided with tools to protect themselves against identity theft for 4 years, including free 3-bureau credit monitoring and $1 million in identity theft insurance provided through a third party. Those who purchase their own credit monitoring through a different provider can still apply to receive up to $125 to defray the cost. Additionally, starting on December 31, 2019 and extending 7 years, all U.S. consumers may request up to 6 free copies of their Equifax credit report during any 12-month period. These free copies will be provided to the requesting consumers in addition to any free reports to which they are already entitled under federal law. We encourage consumers impacted by the breach to visit www.equifaxbreachsettlement.com for more information about when and how to submit their claims in order to receive these services. If the court approves the settlement, consumers will be able to submit a claim either online or by mail. Consumers can also seek information on the CFPB website or from our government partners in this investigation. Finally, the Bureau fined Equifax $100 million and will hold Equifax to its requirements under the order to beef up its information security practices. These are strong measures that send a powerful message about the responsibility to those entrusted with private consumer information. Today's announcement is not the end of our efforts to make sure consumers' sensitive personal information is safe and secure. The incident at Equifax underscores the evolving cybersecurity threats confronting both private and government computer systems and actions they must take to shield personal information. Too much is at stake for the financial security of the American people to make these protections anything less than a top priority. Thank you again for being with us today, and I'll now turn it over to Maryland State Attorney General Brian Frosch.
Thank you very much. Let me add my thanks to those that have already been given, both to Chairman Simon and to Director Kraninger. And I want to thank also Phil Zipperman from my staff, who led the investigation and the negotiations for the settlement on the part of the states. The Equifax breach was one of the largest in U.S. history and perhaps the most dangerous. As has been said, it exposed personal information of nearly half of the consumers in the United States of America. Social security numbers, date of birth, address, etc. And it's particularly aggravating for a couple of reasons. First, the principal cause of the breach was Equifax's failure to patch critical vulnerability in its network. And that persisted for 76 days. Second, and maybe even more aggravating, is the fact that most of the victims were not customers of Equifax. Most of them, most of us, did not sign up for Equifax's social network or its email or use its search engine. We did not choose Equifax. Equifax, in fact, chose us. It collected our personal information. It compiled them. It analyzed that information. And it sold the product and some of the raw data to other people. Their carelessness with our personal data will cause harm, perhaps, for millions of Americans. The state's share of this settlement, we count the $425 million, as well as $175 million in penalties to the states. And both monies will be used to benefit consumers, to get credit monitoring services, identity theft restoration. We have in our settlement, and I believe in the rest of the state settlement, very strong injunctive relief. We have a 43-page consent decree that enumerates all of the actions that Equifax must take going forward to protect our personal data. And as I believe the director mentioned a moment ago, or perhaps it was the chairman, it will include third-party monitoring of their compliance with these very strong and comprehensive injunctive relief provisions. I think this settlement is important in another way, and that is that it sets a standard for credit reporting agencies. Our injunctive relief outlines what are and must be going forward best practices for protecting data that they've received from consumers. And we intend to hold the other credit reporting agencies responsible for protecting our data, just as we are holding Equifax responsible. Let me just add a word of advice to consumers. I mean, first of all, everyone should take advantage of this settlement. There are a number of different ways to find out whether you've been affected and to obtain relief. Going to the website www.equifaxbreachsettlement.com is a good one. There is a national hotline number. It's 833-759-2982. The other advice I would give to consumers is, unless you are about to apply for a loan or a credit card, freeze your credit. In Maryland and in many other states, you can do it for free. You can unfreeze your credit for free. This settlement allows you to do that with Equifax. It is a way of protecting yourself that is extraordinarily important. In Maryland, the parents and guardians of minor children can also freeze and unfreeze, of course, the credit of their minor kids. That's extremely important because the folks who are trying to steal personal identity information would rather have the identity of a child than of a middle-aged millionaire, because they can use those data for years before anybody finds out about it. So freeze your kids' data, freeze their accounts as well. And I think that pretty much covers it. Pay attention. The last bit of advice: check your credit. You can do it now for free with Equifax. You can do it free under federal law, free under state law. You can do it multiple times, essentially amounting in most states to once a month with one credit agency, so that you can do it on a regular basis. You will see if somebody has stolen your identity, taken credit out in your name, and it's just one more way of protecting yourself going forward. Thank you all very much.
Thank you to all our speakers. Now we will take questions, and we'll have our subject matter experts, Manisha and Kara. And may we take questions from the floor? We have a mic. So, Brett.
Thank you so much. Kayla Tausche, CNBC. I wanted to ask how you arrived at the $300 million figure for the Consumer Relief Fund. How did you figure out what the value of consumer data is, and how many people do you actually expect to take advantage of this?
Sure. Thank you so much for the question. So one of the things we wanted to make sure was that consumers would be getting refunds and money back, particularly for consumers who have suffered out-of-pocket losses as a result of identity theft that occurred from the breach. And one of the ways we arrived at that figure is that we wanted to make sure to make consumers whole, but at the same time, we wanted to make sure that Equifax had the wherewithal to implement better protections for consumers in the future. So in addition to the money, we want to make sure that Equifax is able to implement protections for consumers going forward, because the order does require them to implement a lot of new steps to protect consumers' data in the future.
Just a quick follow-up. The original breach affected nearly 150 million people. So at the $300 million figure, it would seem that if everyone applied for the relief, they would only get a few dollars. what do you think the average size of relief will be and for how many people?
Sure. So there's the claims process, which consumers can find out about by going to www.ftc.gov/Equifax. And so for consumers who file claims, they can actually get up to $20,000 per consumer. So we don't anticipate that all 147 million consumers will file claims based on prior experience. But for those consumers who do file claims, they will be able to get up to $20,000 in relief. In addition, all 147 consumers will be able to get free credit monitoring. So the order provides for, people mentioned 4 years, so let me just break that down. So people will be able to get 10 years of free credit monitoring. 4 years of those credit monitoring will be tri-bureaus. So in other words, you'll be able to check with all three bureaus your credit monitoring, and then there'll be additional years of credit monitoring to equal 10 years of credit monitoring. So all consumers will be eligible for that, in addition to up to $20,000 per consumer in monetary relief.
I just ask, you said that you wanted to make sure that consumers could be compensated for harm, and also making sure that Equifax had the wherewithal to invest in security. I mean, are you suggesting that Equifax does not have the resources, to invest in their security if it's required to pay more than $300 million?
Sure. So one of the things that we look at is we calculated how much consumers would likely make claims. Now, a lot of the claims and a lot of the money back for consumers would come in the form of free credit monitoring. So there's the free credit monitoring. There's also free identity theft restoration services, which means that if consumers are victims of identity theft, they will have somebody that will be able to assist them in guiding them through the process of how to recover their money. In terms of the monetary amount, yes, the total amount of $700 million, which includes the $300 million plus for consumers, as well as the civil penalties from the states and the CFPB, we do want to make sure that that we're not bankrupting the company or making the company go out of business. We want to make sure that it does have the funds and the resources available to protect consumers going forward.
Just one quick follow-up. In terms of the consumer harm as a result of this, do you have an estimate for the kind of range of values that people have suffered?
We don't. I think, as you know, it's very very difficult to trace particular incidents of identity theft to a particular breach. What we do know is that through our complaint database, we saw a 20% spike in complaints about identity theft between 2017 and 2018. Again, we can't attribute that number to anything specific, but that is one data point that we have.
And that is, FTC settlements have come under considerable criticism for their leniency. And I notice that in this, you're asking Equifax to commit to annual assessments, not audits, and Equifax is not also admitting any guilt. So this is yet another case of the FTC going too easy on the company.
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, ever since I got here, one of the things we've been doing is looking at how to beef up our order provisions, particularly in data security. So one of the things we did in particular on the assessor is to make sure that the assessor is doing its own work and not relying on the company. So they're doing testing, auditing, and sampling, and we have access to that as well. Is this the one also where we can hire and fire? Yeah. The other thing too is what we started to do is that we now have control over the appointment of the assessor, and if the assessor doesn't do his or her job, we have the ability to fire the assessor and get a new assessor. So we've dramatically beefed that up. In terms of the second part of your question, not requiring an admission of guilt, that's a normal thing. That's a regular common practice. It's not something that we just invented. It's been this way historically. It's not just our agency. It's lots of other federal agencies as well, where there's particular individual accountability. A lot of times we do bring actions naming the individual. Thank you.
Edward Lawrence from Fox Business Network. Equifax is not the only holder of data like this, or TransUnion and Experian. We learn about these breaches seems months, 76 days afterwards. What is to stop the next one? Who's watching the watchdog of these of this data?
So I think that's an excellent question. There are a lot of companies out there that are holding very, very sensitive data of consumers, and I hope this case sends a strong message to those companies that it doesn't pay to underinvest in data security. In terms of what we're doing to kind of watch these companies, as you know, the FTC has brought over 60 cases involving lax data security practices. We are doing what we can within the bounds of our existing authority, but we've called on Congress to give us additional authority so that we can provide greater deterrence, have more civil penalty authority for initial violations so that we can provide better deterrence and make sure that companies that are entrusted with this data are protecting it to the fullest extent.
Hi, I'm Carl Herkenroder with Communications Daily. I just want to make sure that I heard the chairman correctly. So the CFPB and the state attorneys general, they were the ones to secure the fines. So without those two entities, would the FTC be able to secure any kind of civil penalty?
No, we have no authority to get civil penalty on a first-time violation. We do have authority to get equitable monetary relief, but in this case, it's redress. So in order for us to get that equitable monetary relief, it has to be as a result of something the company sold to a consumer. And what we're looking at in this situation, so even if we would have tried to get equitable monetary relief here, we got equitable monetary relief. Our equitable monetary relief was limited to a small set of the 150 million people who were victimized here, only those people who had direct relationships and bought a product specifically from Equifax. And that would have been a limited amount of monetary relief. A lot of the monetary relief here is also as a result of our being in the case with our partners from the state and the CFPB.
Any more questions?
Hi, this would be a question for the chairman. Could you explain, I'm Dave McLaughlin from Bloomberg, sorry. So there's been a lot of criticism about not holding executives of these companies in these cases liable. Can you just explain why that wasn't done here?
There needs to be a specific involvement. That's what we're looking for. We're also looking for cases where, instance in which we go after individuals is when that's required to get effective relief. So is where it's a closely held company, it's small, there's not a lot of equity in the company. The company might be able to close down and then open up in another form, you know, across the street or something like that. That's what we've done primarily. We do look though for any cases that we're involved in, even larger cases, to name individuals. But in this case, and what we're looking at is something where there's direct clear involvement.
And if I could just add 2 points to that. The first is that many executives that were in place at Equifax at the time of the breach have since moved on. The second point is that under the order, we do require very senior level involvement in data security issues. So for example, the data security program has to be reported to the board level, and members of the board have to annually certify their compliance with the order. And if they misrepresent their compliance with the order, that could be subject to civil and criminal fines.
Additional questions on the board?
This is for anyone who can answer it. I'm Harper Nighting with The Hill. For consumers seeking monetary relief, would they have to prove that any unauthorized charges were a direct result of the data breach?
So there will be a claims process that is set up by an independent third party, and there will be a claims form. And so the consumer will be required to show the types of information that was stolen and the date that the information was stolen, that it occurred after the breach. But beyond that, consumers won't have to necessarily kind of trace the specific identity theft to the breach. any identity theft that occurred that involved the same types of information that occurred after the breach will be reimbursable through this fund.
Hi, I just have a follow-up question for the chair, Chairman. Could you specify how much the FTC would be able to get monetary relief without the other agencies? And just additionally, do you have any knowledge of who is responsible for the breach in terms of who the hackers were?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Could you specify how much the FTC would have been able to get monetary relief if not for the other agencies?
Ah.
And also, do you have any knowledge of who the hackers were in this case?
We don't have any knowledge about no knowledge about the hackers. In terms of the monetary relief, it's hard to say exactly what we would have been given, what we could have gotten, because these are negotiations. So there's issues around how many people and what the injury was exactly. So because it's redress, so it's really hard to say how much of that. But the other thing that you should keep in mind is that the fact that you have civil penalties there, that's kind of a lot of leverage to get other monetary relief as well. So what we try to do as a rule for ourselves is we try to get most of the relief in redress so we can go back to consumers as opposed to taking civil penalties, which goes to the government.
We'll take that follow-up question, then one over here, and then we'll go to the phones.
Thanks so much. Were you all able to establish any cases of verifiable financial harm suffered by consumers in terms of identity theft or financial loss?
So again, it is very difficult to trace specific identity theft back to a specific breach. What we can say is that we know many millions of consumers suffered harm in this case because they spent money on credit monitoring after the breach, they spent money on security freezes after the breach, they spent time and effort trying to get through to Equifax and to have their identity restored. So consumers absolutely suffered harm from the breach. In terms of whether they suffered identity theft as a result of the breach, that is harder to trace.
So this is a good segue into exactly why we need civil penalty authority instead of just relying on our ability to get equitable monetary relief. As Manisha said, particularly nowadays, there's been so many breaches, it's hard to trace back any particular identity theft to any particular breach. So if we actually had to litigate something like that, it would be very difficult for us to do. It would be a real serious burden. And that's why civil penalty authority is so important.
Morgan Wright, Next Star Media Group. This question was for Attorney General Graham Frosch. Just wondering if you can highlight how big of a deal this was in the state of Maryland. Do you have a figure of how many people were affected by this? Can you highlight, what your office is doing in addition to prevent this from happening in the future?
Yes, thank you. First of all, there were more than 3 million Marylanders whose data was hacked. What we're doing to try to prevent this from happening in the future is with the consent decree, as I mentioned before, that contains extensive injunctive relief and requirements for Equifax going forward in the way it handles this information. We think we're setting a standard for everybody who collects credit information, and we intend to hold them accountable if it's hacked, if it's breached. Under Maryland law, the mere fact of somebody's data being breached is a violation of the Personal Information Protection Act, Consumer Protection Act, and we can get redress for the consumers and achieve penalties for the state, similarly to the FTC's policies. We first try to make sure that consumers are made whole. Second, we try to get injunctive relief that ensures that they're protected going forward. And our third priority is obtaining penalties for the state. Those penalties can be extensive, as they are here, $175 million to the 50 jurisdictions that were parties to this settlement.
Thank you very much. Now we'd like to go to the phones, please.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. First question is from Evan Weinberg, Bloomberg Law. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking the time for today. The settlement calls for people to get compensation for the time that they spent on getting identity protection. How are you going to determine that? Is it, you know, will they have to submit call records, things like that?
Yes, so consumers can get up to 20 hours of time spent remedying identity theft. They can get compensated at $25 per hour. There is some requirement to submit some reasonable documentation for some of that time, but consumers could also self-certify in certain cases that they have spent time, I think it's up to 10 hours for the self-certification. Well, so we do believe that the time component is very significant for consumers, even consumers that have not necessarily suffered out-of-pocket losses. It can be a real burden and a hassle for consumers to unravel the identity theft, to call their financial institutions, to figure out what happened, to freeze their credit, things like that. And so we do think it's a very important aspect of the relief here.
Okay, thanks very much.
Next question, please.
Yes, explain to me, if you can, what the value of six free credit reports a year is and what the value of one bureau monitoring is.
Thank you. This is Kara Peterson from the CFPB. So the value of this, the six credit reports, is it allows consumers an opportunity to monitor their credit in a very detailed manner. They can get those reports multiple times a year in addition to the federally mandated single report they can get a year. And it's a way for consumers to try to protect themselves if they see anything on their report that gives them an indication that their information has been compromised, then they can take additional steps to protect themselves.
Right. Is this just your Equifax credit report, though? Because if it's your Social Security number, it can be used anywhere.
Right. So that's where the credit monitoring comes in. So the credit monitoring that is offered through the settlement includes the three bureau credit monitoring, which includes all three national consumer reporting agencies, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. And so for 4 years, consumers are able to get that monitoring service with all three of their credit reports from all three agencies.
Mm-hmm. But what is the value of just one agency?
Well, so the information at the three credit bureaus may differ some, but for the most part, being able to get the information through the Equifax credit monitoring in the 6 years following the first 4 years of credit monitoring, in addition to getting the credit report from Equifax, should provide strong protections for consumers on their information and provide them with an opportunity to determine whether there's any indications or problems with their data.
Next question is from the line of Todd Brown, Washington Post. Please go ahead.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking my call. I'm Tony. Just wanted to follow up on something that I think Manisha has said. So it is the case that when Equifax certifies through these board reports that individual board members or even other executives who are named in the order but are still part of this compliance process, that they individually could be held liable later and that they individually could be fined later if you guys find something wrong? Thanks.
Yes.
Tony, do you have any more parts to that question, or can we go on to the next one? Oh, the answer was yes.
Oh, okay, great. That's good. Thank y'all.
Okay, next, please.
Our next question is from Peter Evans, CBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, I think this being referred to as a global settlement. I'm with CBC up in Canada. I'm hoping in detail about what a non-U.S. resident or a non-U.S. citizen would get from this. We know there's at least 19,000 Canadians in this breach. Does this settlement affect any consumers who would not be either U.S. citizens or people living in the U.S.?
Yes, I'm sorry. When we referred to global settlement, what we meant was that there are 50 states and territories, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the FTC, and class counsel plaintiffs. But in terms of international relief, we do know that the Canadians had issued a report on the Equifax breach. And so this the fund here is primarily for U.S. consumers. Yes, in terms of the monetary fund, it is for U.S. consumers, but in terms of some of the injunctive relief, in terms of the protections going forward, that applies more broadly.
Oh, great. Okay. Thanks.
And next we have Michelle Singer, Washington Post. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have a question about the fund. So I'm not clear. Are you saying is everybody took advantage of it? There was a limit at some point? I wasn't clear on that. And can you talk about the options between the credit monitoring and I guess I saw $125, yeah. And you get $125 in lieu of the credit monitoring. And lastly, so three-part question, who exactly is going to be doing credit monitoring? Because that was also an issue with, you know, Equifax getting, you know, business from people because of the breach.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe it might be helpful to run through the different buckets of relief that consumers get. So first is 10 years of credit monitoring, with the first four at least of those of being tri-bureau credit monitoring. That includes $1 million in identity theft insurance. But if people don't want to use the credit monitoring through the fund, they can also get a $125 cash payment if they elect to go with credit monitoring somewhere else. In terms of your question about who's providing the credit monitoring, the order requires it to be an independent third party. So we understand that consumers may be uncomfortable with providing their data to Equifax given what happened. So the order requires that the credit monitoring be run by an independent third party. The second. That independent third party has to be approved by all of the stakeholders to the settlement. No, every consumer who claims credit monitoring can get it. So there's no cutoff there. Then the second bucket is that consumers can get up to $20,000 in cash for any out-of-pocket losses they suffered. So that is if they paid for credit monitoring, if they paid for security freezes, if they have unauthorized charges on their accounts, they can get up to $20,000 in relief for that. The third bucket. You can put in for both. Right, and I think that's one of the reasons why during the negotiations we didn't want consumers to have to prove that a particular identity theft was the result of the Equifax breach. So as long as they have reasonable documentation in the form of receipts that they paid for credit monitoring or that they paid for security freezes, they should be able to get reimbursed for that amount. So to get the full 20 hours, there's a certain percentage of time for which consumers need to have documentation, receipts that they bought credit monitoring or security freezes. But for up to 10 hours, all they have to say is, I spent X hours talking to various people, and they have to kind of explain who they talked to, and they have to check a box certifying that they're telling the truth, and they should be able to get the time reimbursement for that. And then you're welcome. And just to round out the other two buckets, all consumers can also get up to 7 years of identity theft restoration services, which basically means that they will have an assistant to help guide them through the identity theft process if they're a victim of identity theft, And I think, as was mentioned already, starting in 2020, they can get an additional 6 free credit reports from Equifax for a period of 7 years.
And secondly, I'm just wondering if any of the principals can address whether or not they personally have been affected by the data breach as well. Thank you.
Okay, so Brian, in response to your first question, the order does require the settlement administrator to provide reports to the FTC about, for example, how many people have made claims, how many people have made claims for free credit monitoring, how many people got to the settlement administrator's website, which we've been talking about, Equifax data breach, EquifaxBreachSettlement.com, and certain other aspects of the settlement. So we do want to have some transparency and some insight into the number of consumers that are making claims, the number of claims that were paid out, et cetera. And you had a question.
Your line is open, sir. Thanks. The Equifax CEO on the call this morning said that he didn't anticipate having to include the additional funding in the consumer fund, and that they've seen no evidence of Equifax data being sold on the dark web or increases in identity theft. It seems like you guys seem to be indicating that you think that there'll be the need for the additional funding and wider consumer reports or consumer filings, and I'm just curious if you can kind of address whether there is a discrepancy between what the agency is expecting versus what the company is expecting to eventually have to pay out, and how many individuals will seek remedy.
Thank you. This is Kara Peterson at the CFPB. The settlement, as you described, includes a $300 million fund for consumers as soon as the settlement is approved, but up to $125 million in additional funds if consumers make claims that go above the $300 million. And I think from our perspective, we want to ensure there is that additional funds available, so if consumers make additional claims, there is enough money to pay out those claims. Obviously, the type of harm we're talking about is payments that consumers are putting out right away to protect themselves from breaches, but identity theft can happen at any point. So over the next several years, consumers may continue to be affected by this data breach, and this allows there to be a cushion so that if there's additional harm to consumers, there are funds available to provide those remediation.
Are you guys anticipating the additional $125 million to be used, and how long do individuals have? Are they covered by that if there would be a subsequent identity theft?
So it's very difficult to predict whether that $125 million will be used or not. The point is that it's there if consumers need it. In terms of the times for filing claims, there's an initial claims period that goes 6 months, and then there is an extended claims period. So if consumers suffer identity theft after that claims period, there's an additional 4 years that consumers will have to file claims. Well, consumers have to provide sufficient documentation to show that it's the same type of information and about when the identity theft occurred. But beyond that, consumers should not have to specifically trace the identity theft to the breach.
Thank you.
This is Brian Frosch. I just wanted to add one comment, and that is that we know from all of the data breaches that we've experienced in Maryland and in the United States that the hackers don't immediately take the information of consumers and start trying to steal from them. They often archive it, bank it, whatever you want to call it, and use it as long as years later. So I don't think we can say from the most recent experience of data theft from Equifax that all the harm has been realized and that consumers, whatever claims they've made so far, are going to be the extent of the claims going forward or the damages going forward.
We'll take one more question and then we'll wrap this up. And any additional questions, please call the press office. So is there one last question from the lines, please?
That is Kurt Victor, FTC Watch. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking our questions. It seems every week we're reading of a new breach, and I'm wondering, this is for Chairman Simon, has the FTC done enough to be a deterrent and force companies to invest sufficiently to prevent these breaches?
That's a hard question to answer, although I will say this. I think we can create a lot more deterrence if we got civil penalty authority, and that's what we're asking for.
All right. Thank you all very much for your attention today. If you have any questions, please call the FTC press office. And if anyone here in the audience wants additional interviews, please stay along and talk to either.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.